You are Locked On Marlins, your daily podcast on the Miami Marlins. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Marlins podcast, your go-to podcast on all things Miami Marlins. As always, I'm your host, Aram Layton. I'm a longtime Marlins writer as well as the founder of JustBaseball.com. And in today's episode, I'm going to play a little bit of GM here and talk about some of the moves I think the Marlins should make. We're going to trade away some players as we did in last episode. I'm going to follow up on some of those deals. I know I didn't talk as much about Jesus Aguilar, where he could go. There will be plenty of interest around Aguilar with the year of control he comes with next season as well, and with all the things that he brings to the table. So I wanted to talk about him. I know I had traded him to the Brewers. He seems like the best fit for the Brewers as a guy that leads the National League with 68 runs driven in. He's been spectacular and he'll only be better in any other ballpark other than Marlins Park. I could see the Rays being in on him as well, as he was briefly a Ray. He went through a little bit of a rough patch while he was there, but I think he would be just fine. And you got to figure, any team that has had Jesus Aguilar in the past would probably welcome him back with open arms, especially now that he's been able to get it going at the plate again to recapture that borderline all-star form. He was an all-star in 2018. I believe it was 2018 with the Brewers. So we look also at some other options. I think the Red Sox could make a lot of sense for Jesus Aguilar, and wouldn't it be a good scenario there where the Rays and the Red Sox drive the price up a little bit with each other in an effort for Aguilar's services? And when I look at the Red Sox, he makes a ton of sense, Aguilar does, because right now in their first base situation, they've got a guy in Bobby Dalbec who swings and misses as much as anybody in the game. What does Jesus Aguilar do really well? He puts the bat on the ball. This is an offense that is loaded, has a ton of guys that can just flat out hit. They drive in runs, and now you're bringing in a top five RBI guy in the league, in the National League leader. You got to figure that's a good recipe. I could also see Aguilar playing Pepper with the Green Monster over in left field. That could be a good fit as well. Obviously, if you're looking to make a trade, you're hoping that you can make one with the Rays, because the Rays have so many darn prospects that could really be of interest to the Marlins. And the Rays are also creative and different, where you could probably make that Aguilar plus a prospect type of trade to get a better prospect. I think the Rays would be more willing to do something like that if there's a pitching prospect that the Marlins have that the Rays really like, which I'm sure there is, and they'll take him and make him into the most ridiculous pitcher ever. I mean, Tobias Myers, who is not even in their top 30, I don't think, has been just ridiculous this year in Double-A for the Rays. Just another example of a random guy that they take and just bring him to the next level. Of course, he was more highly touted back when he was selected as a way over slot guy in the sixth round at a high school in Florida. That was in 2016, but Tobias Myers all of a sudden goes 5-perfect against the Marlins. Double-A Pensacola ball club, strikes out 11, I believe it was, and now he's got 81 punchies in 59 2/3 innings. So they just take guys and make them better. So I could see them having interest in a McCambly and a Kyle Nicholas. I don't want the Marlins to trade either of those guys, but maybe they'll have interest in a Dax Fulton and be able to unlock a bit more. I don't really want to part with any of those dudes, I'll be clear, but if it gets the Marlins one of the Rays' really impressive middle infield prospects, or it gets the Marlins, of course, Josh Lau, as I was saying, is that's a guy that I think the Marlins should really try to get, then I'm willing to do it. And I think if the Marlins are willing to take that Kiermaier contract on, assuming that the Rays do want to part ways with him, which I think they'd be happy to do. I know Kiermaier is a big part of that team and is one of the only guys that they've really held on to even after the extension for a while. So it's probably a testament to the fact that they really like him. But I've heard more than enough times that they'd be happy to move that contract. And at the end of the day, the Rays are always happy to clear some money. So if also taking on the $12 million for Kiermaier next year is a reason why the Marlins will be able to get a bit more of a prospect return, as I mentioned in the last podcast, and that makes a ton of sense. You might be thinking, well, if they won't pay Marte, why would they pay Kevin Kiermaier $12 million next year? Well, the big hiccup with the Marlins' deal with Marte, which is somewhat understandable, is that they didn't want to give him that extra year that he really wanted. The Marlins would only have to pay Kiermaier next year. Not only would that be okay because it holds them over in center field, and Kiermaier's probably better than every single free agent option, so I would not be upset with a deal like that. You could maybe even get the Rays to kick in a few bucks, but if you don't have them kick in any money, would be a good way to get a bit better of a prospect return. The Rays are loaded. I know I mentioned before, Mario Feliciano makes a ton of sense for the Marlins if they make a deal with the Brewers and maybe get them to throw in Corey Ray. I know it's just another outfield prospect with a lot of swing and miss, but you figure if you can throw one more lottery ticket into the fold there, maybe one of them will hit. It doesn't really matter. The focus of that deal would be Feliciano, and I would be happy with that return. Two is he's on the mend from a shoulder injury and already beginning his rehab assignments. He's pretty much big league ready or close to it, so he would be able to potentially start for the Marlins next year, and I like everything I've seen from Feliciano as a prospect, so that could be an interesting deal as well. I think the one that I didn't really talk about in the last episode, and I had tweeted about this, and people were a bit reluctant to part with Garrett Cooper, and I understand that because he's been so consistent for this team and has really been hot over the last few weeks. I know he's on the shelf right now, and that's going to be a big part of what the Marlins will be able to get for a guy like Garrett Cooper. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be able to return in the next 2 weeks. It won't be before the deadline, but if the return date is right after the deadline, I think a team would be fine trading for him. He's not going to be out long enough to throw him out of whack or anything like that. I mean, he's been one of the hottest hitters in baseball over the last few weeks up until that injury. If you look at the Baseball Savant data or the numbers, and he's right around the top 10% of the league, whether it's numbers-wise or whether it's the batted ball data and the percentile stuff, he's just up there in every single category. You look at max exit velo, top 8%. You look at average exit velo, top 20%. Expected batting average, top 25%. Walk percentage, top 15. Barrel percentage, top 25%. So he's doing a great job at just about everything. Then you look at the OPS, 845 OPS. That'll put him in the upper echelon of the league. 380 on base. And the slugging was just going up as well. If you've got a 380 on base, he was just starting to get into that power again. I think the slugging would have got over 500 as he continued to get more at-bats. I think he'll finish with an OPS around the mid to high 800s. He's been amazing. His hard hit rate is pretty damn close to elite. He's in the top 7% in that regard as well. So that's a guy, you look at him, he's probably going to get you the most value of anybody that you can trade on your roster right now feasibly, right? I'm not going to consider trading Trevor Rogers or Sandy Alcantara or even Pablo Lopez right now. So you talk about those guys, of course, they're going to get you a bigger return. But when you look at Garrett Cooper, that guy's going to net you a sizable return relative to some of the other players. He's going to get you a bigger return than Starling Marte. He's going to get you a bigger return than Jesus Aguilar and anybody else that the Marlins are pretty keen on trading, even Rojas. If they decided to trade Rojas, I think Garrett Cooper still gets you a better return than him as well. Because the most important thing to a lot of these GMs, to basically every GM, is control. You're not going to pay a ton for a rental, and Cooper comes with 2 years of control. He's only making $1.9 million this season. Then you get him for arbitration rate, it's going to be relatively cheap for the next 2 years. He also is capable of playing multiple positions. He's not good in the outfield, but he's good enough. And if you need to stick him out there, his bat is going to make it worthwhile. Then he can also play first base as well. He's comfortable coming off the bench. I think we could see just about any team interested in a guy like this because you could play first, you could play outfield, he could DH. You look at the AL teams, there are so many that could use a guy like Garrett Cooper. And because of his ability to at least hold his own at times in the outfield, he's not restricted to the AL because of the first base DH type of situation. And there could be teams like the Dodgers. Remember, the Dodgers called after Adam Duvall signed, and that was several injuries ago for LA. And we're watching Cody Bellinger go through one of the roughest stretches of his career. Not saying that Cooper is going to start over him, but it would be good to have another guy that you could throw into the mix there. I don't think they want to rely on Zach Rex and some of these other older prospects that have been doing pretty well, but I don't think that you want to roll with those guys through the postseason when you can have somebody like Garrett Cooper, who also did, I know it's not the same, but also did get some postseason experience last year as well. When you look at the Dodgers as an option, of course, you've got to look at Keibert Ruiz. That's who everybody is saying, oh, how can we get Keibert Ruiz? It's going to be pretty darn hard to get somebody like him. He might even be untouchable. But on the flip side, the Dodgers, they want to repeat. It's very hard to repeat. Somebody like Garrett Cooper, along with an arm like Zach Thompson or Anthony Bender, could just get the Dodgers excited enough to part with Ruiz because of the fact that they have Will Smith, who, by the way, just hit a three-run shot to walk it off against the Giants. That was insane. I don't know if anybody stayed up to watch that game. Will Smith is spectacular. There are some defensive questions with him. I could see him ultimately moving from behind the dish. That's going to be what the question is around what the Dodgers are going to do. If their plan is to stick with Will Smith as a catcher long term, then I don't see them dealing Ruiz. They also have one of my favorite catching prospects, one of the most underrated catching prospects in baseball, in Diego Cartaya, waiting in the minor leagues, but he is a long ways away from the big. So while the Marlins would love to get a guy like Cartaya, he is not going to help you right now, or really even in the next 2 years, so I don't know if that matches up. I'm not sure the Marlins would be able to get somebody like Hubert Ruiz, but if they're going to try to, I would assume you go with Garrett Cooper and Anthony Bender, or Garrett Cooper and one of your pitching prospects, and hope that you're able to get that kind of deal done. If that doesn't get it done, then you're probably not going to be able to get him. I don't see the Dodgers really trading Ruiz. I could see them using him down the stretch here even, and especially if the plan is to move Will Smith from behind the dish. Who knows? He could end up going to third. I don't know if he's capable of doing that, but he's a pretty good athlete. He's got a good arm, and Justin Turner's not going to play third forever. They probably have some sort of plan for Will Smith. Austin Barnes has not been good for the Dodgers at all, so it'll be interesting to see how they approach it, but I don't know if Hubert Ruiz will be available. If the Marlins still wanted to try to pull off a deal with the Dodgers, if the Dodgers are the team that's the most persistent, you could look at some other options throughout that system that could make some sense, especially when you look at somebody like Andy Pages, who I really like, and Andy Pages has had a pretty solid year. The average is not quite as high as you'd like to see, but he gets on base. He hits for power. He's got 16 jacks already, and he's playing in high A right now as a 20-year-old. 16 jacks. He's kept the strikeout rate in the mid-20s, so not too egregious over there. An above-average runner, can stick in center field, is walking at the highest rate of his career at 13%. So a 13% walk rate, 25% K rate, 16 homers. He's an above-average to plus runner, has the instincts to stick in center field, and has plus raw power. That's somebody that the Dodgers could be willing to part with, and if you don't have to attach anybody else, if Garrett Cooper gets you an Andy Pages, then I think you got to be happy with that. If you're the Marlins, maybe the Dodgers throw in some lower level guys as well. But Pages is pretty awesome. I think he's knocking on the door of a top 100 list, if not already. I can tell you now he's going to be in serious consideration for the back end of the top 100 for the Just Baseball top 100 list coming in the next week or a little bit less than that. I love the tools that he brings to the table. I think that he's going to have the timeline of being ready by the middle of next year. He could presumably make a run at being ready next year. It's going to depend on how he hits in Double A. But I think he'd be a really intriguing piece to throw into the fold here. And I do think that the Dodgers would be willing to part with him in the right deal. Obviously, it's not like the Mookie Betts trade, but he was the player that was initially supposed to go over to the Angels in that three-team trade that involved Mookie Betts. Of course, you will trade anybody in a deal that gets you Mookie Betts. So I'm not going to say that just because they were willing to trade him for Mookie Betts means they're going to be willing to trade for Garrett Cooper. But I do think that there's some sort of merit that they are willing to part with one of those guys that's not one of the elite prospects in their system. Like, I don't think they're parting with a Hubert Ruiz. I don't think they're parting with Josiah Gray, who looked spectacular, by the way, in his debut yesterday. Even Michael Bush, I think they'd deal him in the right situation, but I don't really see that being one of the guys that they're jumping out of their chairs to trade. But Andy Pages seems like the perfect, reasonable, and helpful target for the Marlins, and then maybe the Dodgers can throw in somebody else like a Devin Mann to sweeten the deal. I'm going to talk about Zach Thompson and how the Marlins should navigate Thompson, because I absolutely love him. I'm a big fan of Thompson. I love the way he approaches the game. He seems like he's always smiling. I love his versatility on the mound. But that being said, the Marlins are in a spot where it may make sense to deal him. I'll explain why, and I'll explain what I think his value could look like and what a trade could potentially look like for Zach Thompson as well, and then a brief discussion on free agency and how the impending free agent class should impact the Marlins' decision at this deadline, or decisions, I should say, at this deadline, and what moves they make at this cutoff on July 31st will point towards for the decisions we can anticipate for that free agency period coming up, where the Marlins will presumably have some more money to spend. And that's what I wanted to talk about as well. I'm going to get to all of that in just a moment. A reminder that this episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Why pay 20, 30, 50%, or even sometimes 100% more for the same auto parts from a chain store or a car dealership when you can just go to rockauto.com and use their easy to navigate website to find whatever car part you need for any make or model. For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from the chain store, only $216 from rockauto.com. Rock Auto is a family-owned business that's been serving the do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can imagine, from from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, or even that new carpet. If you go to rockauto.com right now, please write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Also brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Spotify Green Room is the first social audio platform for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Marlins once a week. I just did my first room a couple days ago. Not a huge attendance, but it was the first one. It was a little bit of short notice, so I'll start doing them a bit more frequently, and it's great because I can answer your questions. I can talk about anything Marlins related, kind of like the Twitter spaces that I know the Marlins fans have done in the past. Same thing. All you have to do is download the Green Room app, join the MLB group, and then you can find me at Aram Layton, and we can talk anything Marlins related. I'm guessing it's going to be a big vent session, but I'm looking forward to maybe hosting a room right around the deadline, answering some questions in that regard. As the prospect guy, I'll definitely have plenty of info on all of the players probably that are going to be coming over to the Marlins in a deal, so that should be fun as well. Go download the Green Room app, be sure to link your Twitter account, then follow me to be notified when my room goes live for Locked On Marlins. Green Room, changing the way we talk about sports. So let's talk about the Marlins making trades, because that's coming. We got about 10 days until this trade deadline, and there's a lot of decisions that the Marlins have to make. Some are easier than others. If you're not extending Starling Marte, make a trade. And that's the other one I wanted to touch on really quickly, because I had some questions around Marte, and I had talked about the fact that I don't think the return for him is going to be massive. If you saw the article I wrote on justbaseball.com, I made a pretty disappointing trade that I could see the Marlins making with the Yankees to get Floreal, Josh Breaux, a catching prospect, and Beck Way, who I actually do like as a big power arm. That's very similar to Kyle Nicholas, actually, drafted last year in the fourth round by the Yankees. But that deal, you know, it would help. You get some catching depth, a guy, Josh Breaux, that's been swinging it really well. You get another outfielder that would be big league ready, but also comes with almost no power, would really struggle in Marlins Park, and probably not going to be your long-term solution out there, but just another guy with a bit of upside that I could end up seeing the Marlins settling for if they traded Marte to the Yankees. Hopefully that's not the case. I would almost rather Clint Frazier, but Frazier can't play center field, so I don't know if the Yankees are the best match ever. The Giants could be a good match, but the Giants probably aren't going to trade Heliot Ramos to get a rental Starling Marte. The Giants are smart, and they target very specific types of prospects, and those are guys that they generally do a good job of developing, and you look at their system, it's sneaky really good. I don't want Hunter Bishop either. I'm going to make that clear. I don't like Hunter Bishop as an option for the Marlins. That's another high variance guy who I really think is going to have swing and miss problems and won't be able to hit through the upper levels. I think he's struggling to hit right now, even in high A. Ramos is the intriguing option. I think Ramos is a viable choice if the Marlins are trading Cooper to the Giants, which is not impossible either. The Giants do need some corner outfield help. They do like to go platoon. They will like the versatility. Brandon Belt's on the shelf, so he can help at first base, assuming that he returns before Belt returns. And then when Belt comes back, you can put him in a corner outfield spot. So Cooper could be an option for the Giants as well. Someone like Jesus Aguilar wouldn't be, because once Belt comes back, what do you do with Aguilar? That's why I like Cooper as a potential choice for a lot of teams that could drive the price up as well. And a lot of teams are not going to want somebody that already has an 850 OPS, all of a sudden can really give a jolt to a lineup, even though he's incredibly underrated, to go to another team. They're not going to want Garrett Cooper to go to a competitor. If you're the Dodgers, do you want to see Garrett Cooper go to the Giants, a team that's already been giving you fits, a team that can really hit, and all of a sudden now they add a guy with a mid-800s OPS that can play first, that can play outfield, and just gives them this versatility in the lineup? If I'm the Dodgers, I don't want that. With the way that the Giants have been able to pitch and the way that their lineup is structured, Garrett Cooper would give them even more balance, which I already think is their strength. The Dodgers, they would benefit too. So I think there's going to be quite a bit of bidding for Cooper's services as long as the injury is not too bad, and that could end up netting the Marlins a nice return. I think you could get a Heliot Ramos in a Cooper deal, presumably. If you're talking about maybe Marte, which I could see the Giants going that route, not wanting to give up any of their higher-end prospects, because remember, the Giants are pretty old. They're doing great right now, but they've got to be looking for the future as well, and Farhan Zaidi has been amazing with the decisions that he's making and building this system, and the system is great. You're not going to get Luis Matos. You're obviously not going to get Joey Bart either. I don't think you get Patrick Bailey. Those guys are all going to be somewhat kept close, but there is one target that in a Starling Marte deal, it wouldn't be the sexiest. I don't think anybody would be thrilled, but I would be thrilled. And I want the Marlins to target Casey Schmitt, third baseman in that Giants system. If they do end up just going the cheaper route, meaning giving Starling Marte up without attaching a prospect, then maybe you settle for a Casey Schmidt. And I don't want to say settle because I think this guy is a stud. And you look at the numbers, as I'm sure you're already typing it in, Casey Schmidt, into your phone right now as you listen. He is not quite putting up the numbers that he is capable of. I got to see this guy hit a ton the whole season in the Cape. He's got a ton of power. I mean, he does have 8 home runs in 48 games already in A-ball, but he's not quite getting on base as much as we'd like to see. He's only hitting .238, but he's got a lot of bad luck on his side right now. With that .238 average, he has a .243 BABIP, so just not a lot of luck there. He's only striking out 14% of the time. He's walking 8% of the time. Mentioned the 8 home runs. He also is a Gold Glove caliber defender. At third. I'm not kidding. He was a two-way player at San Diego State, so he was throwing low to mid-90s on the mound, was the closer for San Diego State, and has a rocket for an arm, has really good actions defensively. I would say think Brian Anderson, except with less swing and miss. That's what I think Casey Schmidt could be, is a Brian Anderson with less swing and miss, which is a really, really good option for you if you're the Marlins, if you end up just going the route of trading just Starling Marte. I think you could get a Schmidt and then maybe get somebody else thrown in there as well. If you want to do the thing where you attach a prospect, which I think the Giants, they're creative. They might be down for something like that as well. I still just don't know who the Giants would be willing to part with. I think Luis Matos is a top 60 prospect in baseball. He's not going to be touchable. Personally, that would be one of my number one targets. And again, I want to stay away from Hunter Bishop if I'm the Marlins. You've got enough guys like that. Ramos, if you can somehow pull this off, I would say that you have to attach a Dax Fulton or one of those guys to this deal to get a Ramos. Maybe a Dax Fulton and Starling Marte deal gets you Ramos and a lower level guy. I think that could be the case, and that might be worth it for the Marlins. That might be a little bit of an overpay for somebody like Heliot Ramos, and I know it's backwards, like overpay for the prospect, but that's kind of this position that the Marlins are in right now. But you're getting somebody that will be big league ready next year. I love Ramos as a high floor guy. He's probably going to be an above average regular, could make a couple all-star games, but he is super athletic, has above average power, and despite the numbers not quite being where they should be, remember, he's a 21-year-old in AA. He's going to get settled in. He's already starting to get settled in. Got moved up to AAA already too, so I think he's going to be just fine. The Giants have plenty of confidence in him, and that's why I think they may not want to part with him. But for the Marlins, you look at the Marlins side of things, you have a Jake Eater emerge as a top 100 caliber pitching prospect, just came in at number 100 on Baseball America's top 100 list. So you have a lot to be excited about as a southpaw that should climb through the minors quickly. Of course, that doesn't mean just trade away your other southpaws, and the Marlins could probably use some more lefty depth in their system pitching wise. But at the end of the day, they've got Trevor Rogers at the top. They've got Jake Eater making waves towards the big leagues. I don't love Braxton Garrett as a long-term option, but still, I think if you have an opportunity and that's the thing holding you back from answering your question for center field, presumably for the next decade, you're hoping with a guy like Ramos, you got to pull the trigger, especially with the way the Marlins pitching has looked so far, the way the Marlins have been able to develop pitching. And that's what I wanted to talk about with Zach Thompson even more so. Zach Thompson has been amazing, and I am a big fan of his, as I said, going into the break. That being said, the Marlins need to get creative here, and they need to be aggressive. And at the end of the day, Zach Thompson has made 6 starts. I think when we talk about game to game, people are always saying, oh, that's good for trade value, oh, that's bad for trade value. When it comes to position players mostly, and even pitchers for a lot of this, it's not really going to fluctuate. The trade value is not going to fluctuate as much as we think it will from start to start, from game to game. But for somebody like Zach Thompson, a really good start tomorrow, I believe is when he makes his next start, could continue to make teams more confident in him. He could make 2 more starts before the deadline. I believe his second scheduled start before the deadline would be the 28th. So the Marlins could wait back and say, hey, watch him pitch these next 2 outings. He's going to shove. He shoves. He's good. And if that happens, I mean, Thompson's already produced 1 WAR, according to Fangraphs. Like, he's for real. But what is for real? By for real, I mean he is a major league caliber starting pitcher. It doesn't mean that he is a guy that's going to strike out nearly 30% of batters and produce 1 WAR in 6 starts. I don't know if he is that kind of guy. I don't know if he's that elite. I don't know if he's a pitcher that's going to keep his home run to fly ball rate at 3% and his ERA at 1.93. that might not be the kind of guy that Zach Thompson is. He might be more of a back-end type of pitcher. And again, his margin for error is a little bit thin, not quite as thin as Jordan Yamamoto. But remember how good Yamamoto was for that stretch of starts? And we were all saying, come on, sell high, sell high. I don't think he's going to hit a wall like Yamamoto because his go-to pitch, his baseline, isn't a 90-mile-per-hour flat fastball. It's a cutter that's pretty nasty. So that's going to help him with the baseline. He's already shown the ability to throw multiple pitches. So I think more teams will be confident in his ability to slot into a rotation and help them and be that kind of guy that is more underrated. And you take a bit of a chance, but wouldn't you be willing to take a bit of a chance on a Zach Thompson than paying a premium for a veteran that might not end up being as good? And remember, Thompson comes with control, and control rules the world. Thompson could have some nice value here if a team is sold on what he's been doing. And again, he's going to make another start tomorrow. That's going to be a start where I guarantee there's going to be tons of rival scouts there looking, because if he looks good, if he really pitches well, the Marlins will be in a position to make a trade there. This is one of those spots where start to start, game to game, the trade value definitely could fluctuate. And Thompson, look, I like him. I think he's a great depth piece, and especially with a team that has been running a three-man rotation this year, it's definitely a guy that you would like to hold on to. On the other side, you look at the future, and maybe Zach Thompson's not a part of that long-term plan. I mean, let's talk about this rotation. You look at the top, right? You have Trevor Rogers. You have Sandy Alcantara. You have a presumably healthy Pablo Lopez. That's already three guys right there. Edward Cabrera is knocking on the door. There's number four. Then you also have Sixto Sanchez, who will hopefully be healthy eventually. You're not going to hang your hat on that, though. Eliezer Hernandez will be ready for next season. He might be ready by the end of this season. So that's another guy that you have there. So you have your four solidified starters. I think it's safe to pencil in Edward Cabrera as a starter for next season. Those are the four studs that you can really look forward to. Then one of the two of Eliezer Hernandez and Sixto Sanchez could be great options. Remember, you also have Max Meyer not far behind. You also have Jake Eder not far behind. And there's some other options as well. I still think that it makes sense, because we've seen this year as much as any year ever, that you can't have too much starting pitching. Even the Dodgers have shown that. So if the Marlins were in a good spot right now, I'd say, yeah, definitely hold on to Thompson. They'll find a way to make it all work, and he will be a guy that can definitely help them in the back end of the rotation with some of the question marks that they have with some of these players that have dealt with injury. But you have a piece now that you can trade that someone emerged out of nowhere, and also you have Cody Petit as well, who will hopefully return from injury also. That could be an insurance policy for that rotation. Also, Jordan Holloway is continuing to put it together and looks like he could even be a viable option. Maybe a team might be willing to trade for Holloway package with somebody, and if not, then you can also have Holloway as somebody that also is an alternate option for that rotation. I mean, he's gone back-to-back outings of five innings. I know it technically wasn't a start. I don't really care about that. The lineup went around twice, and he still was able to keep them in check, and he was throwing strikes. That's the most important thing. I don't think it makes a difference of whether he started or came in the second inning. I think that he's really figuring it out with his pitch usage and his command. So that is a great sign as well. So the Marlins could either package him as a young, controllable arm who could go into the bullpen. He's been fantastic in the pen this year, and now has shown that he's been better in longer stretches as well. That swing man that is young, controllable, and can really do a lot of different things as a Swiss Army knife could be valuable for a team as well. You package either of those guys. I think Thompson probably has some more value given that he's had six fantastic starts already. I think the Marlins are going to have to look to potentially make a deal there that can satisfy some of their needs. The Astros are a team that seem like a perfect match for them. The Astros need bullpen help. They need starting pitching help. And Zach Thompson would be a help for them, no doubt. Another team that is really analytically driven with pitching has really helped unlock a lot in their pitchers. And I think they'd like what they see in somebody like Zach Thompson. Here's the flip side. I also don't think the Astros are going to part with Corey Lee. And I know it sounds like I'm being a prospect hugger on behalf of other teams, but it's just a unique situation. The Astros system sucks. Their starting catcher right now is Martin Maldonado, who is great defensively, but man, the guy cannot hit. And I think they're looking at the future here, and they have somebody that could be the answer behind the dish for them, as Corey Lee has just been outstanding this season. We could see the Marlins go the route of Pedro Leon, who has been very solid this year and could answer some questions in center. I think that there's a couple different routes the Marlins could go here with the Astros, who I think are going to be aggressive. I think they really want to get back there. They were super close last season, just purely offensively. They just mashed their way to being a game away from the World Series. You add some pitching to the fold here, and this is a team that could easily get back to the World Series. It's probably the best offense in baseball. So I think they would potentially be willing to trade a Pedro Leon if it's a deal that involves Starling Marte. I don't think Miles Straw is the long-term answer in center field. And if the Astros get somebody like Marte, I believe they'll have confidence in their ability to extend him. They do need a center fielder. They don't have an answer in center field long-term. And Marte, I think if they meet his price tag, which the Astros should be pretty happy to do, especially if they let some other guys go, they may be in a little bit of a financial crunch, but I think letting Springer go allows them to potentially be able to extend Marte. We'll see how they handle that financially. They should be able to pull this off. So if the Marlins go Marte and Zach Thompson, which helps the Astros immensely. I think it turns them into an absolute World Series contender. Not that they're far off already. You get that answer in the middle of your lineup. You get some more athleticism and your answer in center field. Zach Thompson slots into the back end of that rotation that has some question marks and helps them. That would be fantastic. You could also go the other route of Bender and Marte. Does that get you a Pedro Leon? Maybe it does. And a little bit more on Pedro Leon. I really like this guy. I know that he's striking out a little bit in Double A, and you're probably thinking, I feel like Marlins fans, and I don't blame you. At this point, you go to a guy's FanGraphs page and you see a K rate over 30%, and you're like, no, we got enough of those. I totally agree. But Leon's a bit different. He came from Cuba. Again, you're probably like, no, not another player that excelled in Cuba and is going to struggle here. He's different because he already hit in Double A. His numbers through 52 games, and this was his first professional season stateside. He hit 249, 359, 443, 120 WRC+. He's a plus athlete, no problem sticking in center, plus raw power, and a 31% K rate in your first year in stateside baseball, which is a lot different. I don't think that's bad at all, especially when you're walking at a 12% clip, you hit 9 home runs, and you swipe 13 bags. I like that from Leon. I think he's only going to get better with the strikeout rate. I think that's something that's only going to improve. Remember, these are only 52 games he's played in minor league affiliated baseball. It's going to get better. It's not like it's anything egregious right now. If he drops it 5%, he's in a good spot, especially as a center fielder with plus raw power. I saw him in the Futures game. I liked what I saw. I think there's more than enough bat to ball skills there. And again, he's only 23 years old. He should be big league ready by next year, by the end of this year. Maybe he needs a couple months to start the season, but that would be an answer for the Marlins in center field, and probably more realistic than Corey Lee, because the Astros could look at Marte and say that's somebody that we can extend and keep here. And even if they don't feel like they can keep Marte, I feel like they'd be more comfortable parting with a Pedro Leon than a Corey Lee. But you never know. If you could put together that package and get a Corey Lee, then do it as well. I think you should be comfortable giving up, and I want to keep Bender, don't get me wrong, but I think you got to cash in, especially as he's shown a little bit of shakiness here. I think the Marlins have just been riding him a bit too hard. But if you can package him, a Zach Thompson, with Bender or with Marte, and it gets you a Pedro Leon or it gets you a Corey Lee, and I'm sure a few other fillers, you do it. You do it in 2 seconds. It answers one of your biggest questions, and those are each of your biggest questions. Center field and catcher, you answer it. That would be spectacular for the Marlins, and I'd be cool with it. I think you got to be okay with dealing a bullpen arm or a guy that may not be a long-term piece in your rotation because you have so much pitching. I think you got to be happy with either of those. And I know you look at Anthony Bender and you're like, we finally have a guy that's a swing and miss dude. I can promise you the Marlins will find another dude that can do that. And we've seen in the past that guys that look like can't miss relievers sometimes aren't that guy. I think Bender does look like he's going to be good for the long term, and I do believe in him, but I also believe in the Marlins' ability. One thing I do really believe in the Marlins in is finding those unsung relievers and helping get more out of them. And also, I've liked what I've seen from Guzman as a reliever right now. Jorge Guzman, back from injury, has looked good. He could finally end up being that back end guy as well. So these are some of the deals that I think the Marlins could make. If they don't want to go aggressive on Wilson Contreras, by the way, on the catching side of things, which I think is okay, I think you should probably try to do it, but if not, Travis d'Arnaud is a free agent. He's been hurt the whole year, so he may be more affordable. The Marlins, they maybe go give Travis d'Arnaud a 2-year deal. That would be a great situation. Maybe you have to overpay a little bit. I would be okay with that if I'm the fish. You bring a veteran back into the fold, a veteran to handle this incredibly talented pitching staff as d'Arnaud is, and he's handled a ton of really talented pitchers in his career. I think d'Arnaud would be a great fit. That's somebody that you have to probably overpay for a little bit to get him to come to Miami. But we saw what Darno did to the Marlins with the Braves, just absolutely tore them apart. I don't think the Braves are going to extend him between Shea Langeliers and William Contreras. They probably are going to let him walk, and they are going to try to find a way to extend Freeman, and they have some other financial obligations, and they have a lot of confusion and murkiness around that Marcell Ozuna contract, which I don't think will be voided. They may get a year off from it with a suspension, but history has shown that voiding contracts is not as easy as you'd think. So if the Marlins go the Darno route, then they can really focus on trying to acquire a center fielder here. Obviously, Darno will have a long list of suitors as the catching position is not great. So again, probably can't hang your hat on being able to sign Darno. And if you can satisfy the catching situation here, you do it. But I would love to see the Marlins get Darno and then use these prospect assets in different ways. I also wouldn't be opposed to trading Gerard Encarnacion, but I think his value is continuing to dwindle a little bit as the swing and miss continues to be more prevalent, and he doesn't walk a lot, and I would have loved the Marlins to trade him last year. That was something I was pretty adamant about. But I would put Pedro Leon, by the way, as one of my top targets for this team. Obviously, Corey Lee would be fantastic as well, but the Marlins have a lot of decisions to make. I would make everybody, as we've seen the report say, everybody available outside of the young trio of starting pitchers. That would make a lot of sense to me. I would even make almost every prospect available as well. You know I'll be with you every step of the way here as we get closer and closer to the deadline, as more deals are made. But if you want something specific rooting interest, I would say you want Zach Thompson to absolutely shove again in his next outing tomorrow. And that would be nothing but good for the Marlins. As always, thank you for listening, and I look forward to talking Marlins baseball with you tomorrow.